Is anybody there?
Good morning, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, this is Cindy.
Jennifer, I think we can hit the record button.
We are recording.
Okay, great. So probably a minute or two of beeps coming in, folks are listening to that. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt Hansen, and welcome to the statewide area extension director and department head Whistline. We have a few agenda items that we'll be talking about today. And Dave, are you on board yet?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Matt.
Okay. Do you want to phone call coming in? Do you want to lead the discussion on MOU, and I'll move into the hiring updates?
Sure, we can do that. You want me to just start out with that, or?
Yeah, why don't you start off with that?
Great, thanks. First of all, thanks to the area extension directors and department heads for joining the call today. I know. For most of the counties and most of you, this is kind of getting into budget crunch time. And, you know, in a normal year, this is always a kind of a hectic period as counties are assessing their needs, developing their budget, and some are short of money and the finance committees are acting. And so really appreciate you being on the line today. I'll give a little update of the MOUs and contracts. The intent is still to roll out a contract fairly soon, sometime in October likely, and accompanying that will be an MOU. The cabinet met last week, I believe it was, and discussed the MOU. While there's been a lot of work put into the MOU, it was felt by some of the cabinet members that an MOU is actually kind of a two-sided document. And while Matt and I had gotten some feedback and rolled that out by with a couple county administrators for their perspective, it probably needs to be a work in process at least through this pilot year. So we have a meeting scheduled later today, Matt and I, with the Office of Financial Services and Brian Siebling, who is kind of leading the conversation around the contract. And looking at the MOU on how we take that out to committees, and the intent probably with the MOU will be more of a soft rollout where we invite kind of a discussion around the MOU, and if a county doesn't choose to sign off on it or wants to just share their perspectives or opinions on it, they'll be able to do that without kind of seeming like a unilateral document sent out for them to sign. So I would expect that we'd hope to engage the area extension directors and the department heads in having a discussion and kind of a question answer around some of those aspects of the MOU. Since we're meeting this afternoon, we don't have a clear strategy on what that will look like, but just try to keep your heads up. Matt, any other pieces to that we ought to discuss?
I think you've touched on all the different bullet points that I'd kind of jotted down for that as well, too. I think there was a realization that memorandums of understanding are really agreements between two parties, and this was coming across as a bit one-sided, and having an anticipation that the counties are going to sign even a one-year document was probably putting ourselves a bit at risk for making it seem like we were pushing things on them. So Dave's right. After some more discussion, it's been through our legal counsel. I think we'll be sharing the draft with with counties for them to review as part of like a soft launch, and we'll continue to have those discussions and dialogue to make sure that it meets the needs of both the counties and Extension.
Matt, can you identify which administrators have reviewed the MOUs?
Well, I'm not sure how important that is since we're not making anyone sign it, but in my case, it was Ben Waymire and Dave Brettel.
And in my case, it was Nathan E. Halt from Burnett County.
And it was an early attempt to just run it by a couple administrators early in the process to get some input and thoughts, make sure that we weren't missing anything. And I think that was the feedback that led us to gain a greater appreciation that, you know, more people need to speak into this. And it is meant to be that high-level picture, that relationship, and not the details, not anything to do with the financial picture of that. That'll be part of the actual contract itself for service. But those were the three that provided that initial feedback.
This is Bev. I have a quick question. When will AEDs or department heads be able to give input and see what it is? We might have some insights as well.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll know more after our meeting this afternoon. Our intent was to have that out sometime early October. The timeline might change a little bit. And since we're not expecting signatures on that, I think that gives us a bit more flexibility. But I think, Dave, not sure your thoughts, but I don't think there's too much holding us back from sending that out, at least to their extension directors and getting feedback as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of work has gone into what's been done thus far, and yet part of the issue, Bev, is that there are some processes that we're trying to, that would be good to define in an MOU, but our old practices and processes perhaps haven't been developed yet to work in the new model. And so that's another reason why we're trying to buy ourselves a little time with this, and that could range anywhere from what exactly will counties participation in the hiring process. We know we want counties to participate in the hiring process, but we're working through a kind of a new protocol around hiring to a variety of other types of issues that we had policies and practices that we had done in the past, and those need a little tweaking in order to work in the new system. So that's why it seems very fairly cut and dried and clear, straightforward. With our organization, when you get to the details, it doesn't always end up working that way. So we'll let you know more after our meeting this afternoon, and we hope to have a reasonably good dialogue. And when Matt says that we're not asking them to sign, if they'd like to sign and like to provide that clarity, we would be happy to do that or have that on file with a signed MOU. But understanding that there might be more questions than resolve to move forward with it at this point. Okay. Matt, do you want to move forward with the hiring process?
Yeah, I think another thing I might want to just touch on. The past, actually 3 days, Dave and I have been in Wisconsin Dells at the Wisconsin Counties Association. I know Jeff Hoffman joined us for the morning hours of Monday, and Craig Sachs was with us the afternoon hours of Monday as we, in the exhibitor area, were able to connect with a lot of the county board members, extension committee members, administrators, and such. And the tenor, I'd say, this year compared to last year was much improved with conversations. There's obviously still some angst with counties as everyone's kind of in a different place in terms of their understanding of the pieces as we're moving into the transition process. As I listened to Carl and Chancellor Sandeen's presentation yesterday to the there must have been 100 or more people in the room. There was quite a bit of head nodding that yes, we appreciate the changing the budget to a calendar year rather than the past fiscal year, which a majority of the counties were on. Kind of understood and appreciated the flat fee structure, knowing that things weren't going to be changing. Carl had said that the flat fee was likely going to continue at about that same pricing in 2019, so they shouldn't expect to see much of an increase in what this budget for 2018 is going to look like as they move into 2019. So overall, the tenor was supportive, I would say. There are still some counties that have some questions, but we weren't quite sure what to expect moving into this conference. And I think both Carl and Chancellor Sandeen and Heidi and others were somewhat surprised by the kudos that were being given to Extension for at least getting out of that planning process, moving into the implementation process, and having a clearer picture of what it's going to look like. I think that transitions a little bit into the next kind of these two bullet points can almost be lumped together somewhat, but we continue to make progress through a series of a sequence of transitioning positions from the old model to the new model. And as everyone on this teleconference is aware, faculty were the first group that were allowed to retain their county positions and have the opportunity and the option to apply for other positions that they may be interested in. Probationary faculty most recently were given the options again to choose to stay in their respective county and transition into an academic staff position within the new model, or waive that and decide that they want to be part of the applying for other positions that open up in the near future. And that really leaves two types of positions that Dave and I and the cabinet have been working closely together with in terms of prioritizing, one, the current county vacancies, as well as the other group is these interim positions. And I know there's quite a bit of angst with them in terms of, is my contract going to end December 31st? And I think the hope is within the next week or two to have the process clearly defined as well for them in terms of next steps for both of those classes. And one of the things that we know we need to do is ramp up positions, because we have many, many vacancies across the state. Dave and I, the former regional directors and the cabinet, several weeks ago, looked at each vacant county position and began a prioritization process in terms of what I guess we're calling the first round of hiring and recruitment for positions. And there were a number of criteria that guided that discussion, immediacy of need. So, for example, a county with no current staff or program coverage as a result of multiple vacancies, the need for some continuity in programming, maybe the interim appointments are ending. So to keep that programming going, that was one of the criteria. If the counties rank these positions as a high criteria, if it's been budgeted for 2018, for those positions that we know are going to be full-time, so there's kind of a list of criteria that we use to identify a good number. I think it's going to end up being a little less than 20 on this first round of recruitment. We also know that there's a bit of a capacity issue. Carl spoke about that at the Wisconsin Counties Association meeting. That's a good number of positions to kind of put out all at once, but we do know that it is geographically covering the entire state. The area extension directors are going to have much more of a role in terms of that recruitment process, the screening process, the hiring process. And Dave and I have also been discussing the need then to kind of quickly identify the next round of positions, because we've already had some area extension directors and counties saying, well, what if my position isn't going to be one of the first? Am I going to have to wait till the middle of next year, 2018 summer or something like that, before those positions are in place? And we do hope to have a tighter process of bringing those individuals on. So I think even before the budgets are finalized in November, I think we're looking at having some conversations to try to determine, because the budgets will be printed, not finalized, but identifying the next round of candidates that might be posted before the end of the year, but certainly by January or the early part of 2018, so that they can, so that we have that capacity to do the work that the counties are looking at with the positions that they funded as we move into 2018. So that might be, that as far as one of those communication messages, that might be another positive to share with the counties, is that we're ramping up and really are trying to set ourselves up to have many of these key positions in place early in 2018. And if their position isn't one of these first-round positions, there's a strong likelihood that through discussions with area extension directors, department heads, Dave and myself, that we can determine how we're going to slot and prioritize those in the next sequence of hiring events. With the interim positions, we have, I'd say, two different types. Maybe it's more than that, but we have interims within our organization that may have even been with our organization before taking an interim position. So the two types I'm thinking of are those that went through a full recruitment process and have been in the county for quite some time, and we also have some that were appointed. And at least in the Southwest region, there were several that were appointed to just provide some coverage with 4-H, but have done a strong job of keeping the program going and such. And it had been clearly communicated with them that there would likely be a recruitment process for that position once the permanent position was identified. So, and Carl has made comments, has suggestions that we try to be as compassionate as possible for those who are internal right now, that we want to give them opportunities to identify whether they want to may perhaps move counties, or because of potential budget cuts within their current county, if the county's maybe reducing appointments, to make some of these other opportunities available. So there's a group of area extension directors and myself and Dave and others working on developing the processes for these vacant positions. And we'll, this Friday, we'll be meeting, the area extension directors are going to be meeting up in Stevens Point. We'll be reviewing this, forwarding the recommendations on to the cabinet early the following week. And hope to have some answers about that real soon. So that's a quick recap of the transition of the hiring process and vacancies. And what questions are there?
Matt, this is Penny Tank, and I apologize if I missed it. What about current academic staff?
And that's yet another category, isn't it? I think current academic staff that have been in those positions, I don't hold me to it right now, but I think the notion is we're going to be able to transition them right into the new model. Most of the academic staff positions are fully county funded at this point. Not all of them, I'm sure, but a number of them that I'm thinking of off the top of my head are fully county funded, so we're not going to tell a county that they're going to have to apply for their positions that they've been in for, in some cases, many years.
Matt, just a little addition piece to that. In some cases, we have academic staffs whose positions aren't actually going to change, and if the position description really is not going to change, there's that position will just continue, and there's no reason to post it or change it or do anything with that.
Yep. Thank you, Dave.
This is Neil up in Iron County. I have a question. I have a horticulture educator right now, county funded. He's only 8 hours a week, but the county has approved to move him to a 50% position. That's an increase, and that's a major change in his position description. Will he need to reapply for that position, or if that's approved?
Neil, I would throw this one in, this one in Matt's court, but it's something we're trying to deal with on we have a number of positions that are some fully county funded, some who are actually county employees doing, representing as extension.
Right.
Who aren't part of the 133 contract. And, we don't have a clear answer for you right now. It's one of the things that subcommittee, that work group that Matt indicated is trying to wrestle with.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine, Neil. Uh-huh. And I think that is, we can have some one-on-one discussions about that. I don't see that necessarily the responsibilities of the position. This sounds like more of an FTE change, not the fact that we're, changing the responsibilities from horticulture to, something other than maybe local food systems or, something tangibly different in terms of the responsibilities of the position.
Matt, you've referred a couple of times to the cabinet. Could you define who the cabinet is?
Sure. Every other week, Carl, Heidi, myself, Dave, the associate dean, so that includes Patrick Robinson, Julian DeWicke, Shannon Carpenter with communications, Trisha Gorby, and sometimes I guess there are guest speakers or individuals that come in as part of the topic, but that's the cabinet that I've referred to that Carl established a short while ago, and we've been meeting on every other week basis, if not more frequent, depending on decisions that need to be made and keeping communications strong between all of us.
Thank you.
This is Karen Dickrell. Will the, HR went through a lot of changes and reconfigurations, and they said they were going to streamline. So I'm wondering if the applications for the positions you are filling with new people, will that process be streamlined? Is there still going to be preliminary and secondary interviews? Will the county be involved in that?
So Dave and I also have an opportunity to meet with OHR on a regular basis. It sounds like OHR moving forward will allow flexibility in terms of, the decisions of, is this a position that requires kind of the three steps, the screening, the preliminary, the final interview, or is this a position that can be streamlined and maybe we do the screening and the final interview process. The county, I still see as having a voice in terms of the selection of the finalists if these are county-funded positions. So we're working on those details and the processes of that, but I don't, Dave, unless you're seeing something different, in my mind, the county's going to continue to kind of have that final say, and the finalists that we're bringing to those positions, the county should be able to provide feedback into that process.
Yeah, I agree. Whether it's the final say or whether it's providing input that we really want to listen to, either way, I see that the county, for the most part, some counties don't really care to be engaged. They have other administrators that do that type of thing, but For the most part, counties really want to be engaged in the selection of who resides in their county courthouse and sits in their offices. We can try to make that happen. I think part of that, I was hoping that work group that's working on that might also provide some recommendations. I think that some of the process was streamlined when we did go to maybe Skype as a preliminary interview process, and there might be some other types of approaches or process we could use to streamline that a little more. Karen, the verdict is still out, as Matt and I are still trying to figure out the process, the exact process steps that OHR is going to use and the exact process steps that we might use on our end and who might do that.
Thanks.
Dave, this is Mike. Just want to point out, in the state statutes, it clearly states county extension committees appoint county extension educators. So that, to me, is a pretty clear indication of who has final say.
Well, they have the authority to do that. Usually they've deferred that authority to other committees, personnel committee or county board. But in this particular case, the question is, they have the statutory authority to hire county extension agents, but in these cases, these are actually our employees. So
it doesn't read that way in the state statute, just saying.
Yeah, it does. But anyway, I do agree with you that's the statutory authority of defined by a county agricultural and extension committee.
I have a somewhat related question. My understanding was that existing academic staff would have updated or revised PDs for the new model starting in January. Is that still on target to happen? And I'm wondering if there's not a role for AEDs and existing department heads to help move that forward.
Terry, I believe that's on target. OHR has signed off on some of the base templates, the agriculture, the youth and family extension educator position descriptions. So, and they're the same ones that were sent out to probationary faculty. And many of the questions that came back, after probationary faculty received them was questions about, well, that doesn't quite align with the institute or the center that I feel that I'm going to, that's aligned with the work that I'm doing. So it's kind of a step-by-step transition process. We're waiting for the community's extension educator position description to be signed off, the 4-H program programmer position description. So it is a step-by-step process, and I'm confident that we'll have those ready to go by January, but sooner is my hope, certainly.
Can I just request, this is Penny in Wapaka County, that things that go to probationary faculty, as an academic staff member and a department head, I have not received any of that information, and getting questions from people in my office would be easier to discuss if I, as a department head, would get that correspondence as well.
And I know that's something that Dave and I brought up to OHR. You're not the first one to ask that question, Penny, and I thought that they were going to forward that same documentation then to the department head. So I can check with them and see if they've done that. I was assuming or thinking that they had because of a conversation that we'd had with them earlier.
Yeah, I only got it because somebody in my office forwarded it to me because they were asking me about it.
Okay.
This is Tricia Gorby. I just wanted to jump in on that because we are, that's a good question. We've received lots of questions about the letters that have been shared. And so what we have a FAQ sheet that we're just working on with HR just to confirm some of those responses, but we'll make sure that that's made available to all of you so that you can help answer those questions and direct people to the right resources when they do have questions. So we're pulling that together. You'll see it in the next couple days, and it'll be also released in the communications on Friday.
Thanks, Tricia.
Yeah, thank you. What other questions, maybe unrelated to MOUs or the hiring process, do you have?
This is Karen again. Yesterday we had a Department of Family Development town hall question and answer. And in previous teleconferences, I thought I heard we have youth and family positions, but in the counties there could be someone that emphasis is in youth and someone is in family. But yesterday I heard that everybody will be called a youth and family educator. So has that been clearly defined?
Karen, I'd say that hasn't been clearly defined yet. As we were looking at some of the, and Dave's integration work group, the agriculture position used to be split up into ag, and there used to be another one called farm business. And I think as we finalized that, it became ag, and then there could be some specialization associated with that. So it could be farm business, it could be horticulture, it could be livestock, it could be crops. And I think we have a similar line of thinking with youth and family. As we were working with counties identifying those positions, I was either bolding for my own reference whether that had more of the youth focus or it had more of the family focus. And some have said, well, it's not just families, it's, you know, communities, it's across a lifespan of people. But I think that gets to what you're asking, Karen. Will there be a specialization? And on one of the position descriptions I'm working on right now, that's a question back to HR. OHR, in other for the correct acronym, is just that. Do we if it is a focus on youth, is it 4-H and youth development? Is it youth development? Is it, you know, seeking their input? And I'm guessing that might turn that back to us for our recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Shelley in Fond du Lac, and I would concur with what Karen is saying, because with counties are working on budgets, when you have three positions that all have the very same job title,
mm-hmm.
that becomes a question of duplication for a county committee, when in essence it may not be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly true. I mean, because if you look at the number of centers and the opportunities for, you know, those individuals to affiliate with one or more of those centers, there can be a great variety of the different type of work that's done. I think that will become a little bit more clear to the committees as they're working on developing the plans of work for each of the individuals and focusing on what are the county priorities and incorporating that into that larger plan.
Shelley Tiedemann in Fond du Lac. Can you give us an update on where we are with the centers and institutes and what's happening with those job descriptions and the academic departments?
Dave, you might have a better idea than me, although I know that Patrick has developed or is in the position or in the state of drafting a position description for that institute director for Ag and Natural Resources, but I know both Patrick and Julianne are having conversations, and Dave and I joined with them yesterday to have some of those larger conversations too, but they're the ones that will be responsible for developing the position descriptions and getting those posted. Dave, what Do you have anything more?
I'll ask Tricia to speak as well, because, you know, the first launch when Matt and I came on April was to kind of launch the geographies, and we're not fully there yet, but the geographies and the area extension directors and that part is off the ground. And now with Patrick and Julianne just coming on recently, I think the next big push then is to really structure and launch those centers and institutes. And they have actually proposed with the position prioritization that Matt and I are working on to fill some priority specialist positions in the short term while the organization then assesses the needs and interests, the priorities more long term. And some of those in that conversation are looking like they would be maybe combinations specialist and maybe centered leadership. But that piece is just kind of being launched right now, and it would be nice that if everything in our organization happened sequentially, but we understand that the dynamics don't allow for that. Tricia, anything about the launch of kind of the Centers Institutes piece?
Yeah, I think where we're at right now is that we have the program directors. When we think about those institutes, there is some parallels to some of the program areas, but we obviously have a different structure. But those current interim program directors are serving in that role under that direction for providing sort of programming direction. So we want to make sure that we're utilizing and also just directing people back to those interim program directors when you do have some of those programming questions. But that's really to serve in place until we get those institutes up and running. As Dave mentioned, there is a focus and shift towards thinking of those, getting those centers in place, which is Julianne and Patrick are looking at right now. And so, again, we'll offer more of a firm timeline on what that looks like. Very coming up shortly. So in the next, they're working through the process and the timeline for how they want to get those in place. And so we'll share those as soon as we have that information.
What's the timeline for the program directors, that are filling in? What's the timeline for how long are they fulfilling those roles?
Yeah, we have those until, Those always, you know, they could be renewed, but we have those until, I believe it may depend on the individual, but it's around the March time period. So that's where we're looking to try to get, institutes up and going, obviously before then, but we know we have leadership in place, up until that kind of early spring, late winter time period.
And as far as the, I think your question was also related to academic departments, and Matt and I really haven't been that in tune with that conversation.
Yes, I can offer a little bit on that too. So the academic departments came together. There was a recommendation from the IWG that there would be two academic departments. Now the governance groups reviewed that and are making further recommendations back to the chancellor, and so we'll hear from the chancellor shortly on what the kind of final decision on the academic departments will be. So it's in process right now. Again, the governance groups reviewed, we'll be talking and sending on to the chancellor, and then that so that we can start moving forward on that structure as well.
Well, maybe there's just a pause. We're happy to answer any more questions or have conversations. In the meantime, again, I thank folks for joining today. If you do have questions that come up, feel free to contact Dave or myself or the area extension director in the respective area that you're working with, and we'll try to continue to answer the questions the best we can, and appreciate your patience as we continue to work through the staging of the getting the old model positions into the new model.
This is Shelley. I got another question for you.
Okay, Shelley, I'm ready.
Okay. Do we have any salary ranges? You said that you've got 20 positions that you're going to prioritize and you're going to open up this fall. What are the salary ranges? Because to date, we've seen a flat fee that the counties are to pay, but we have not seen actuality of what is a salary range for these positions.
That's a good question. I'll bring Trish in a second. And for most of the positions that we've transitioned to date, those positions, those salaries are staying where they are. Carl said that salaries, you know, won't be reducing if there's transition with from the old model to the new model. So, but for the new positions, and I think that's the question that you're asking, what is the salary range? Is that correct?
That's correct, because that's what we haven't seen, because we have given, you know, the flat fees for what the counties are using for budget purposes for 2018, but we have not yet seen what is the positions that the counties are budgeting for. We have to see what the salary are for those positions, because they are different, unless it's a faculty member who's staying or it's a probationary faculty who's choosing to become academic staff.
And the good news for the county is with the flat fee structure, it's not going to impact what their budget is for 2018 and moving forward. But, Tricia?
Well, we know that it's not going to impact the county. I'm talking about the employee. What is the salary range for that employee?
That's a great question. So you're talking about for the new, like those newly advertised positions, what's that salary range going to look like? And so I think right now it's designated as the outreach specialist. And so in that FAQ, there's a link to that outreach specialist position so you can see more clearly what that title series looks like. And it's been proposed as coming in as a no prefix. So you can also will specify what that salary range can look like. Now that does, but I want to point out that does come back to the hiring committee as what they want as qualifications and expectations for that role. Right now we had been proposing those as coming in as those kind of no prefix, in that position in that series. And so, we'll send again, you can see that type, that, salary negotiation for salary is different. It hasn't been set that somebody would come in at just one set salary, and so that's also, again, up to the hiring group and the committee to determine what's a appropriate salary level for that specific position in that location.
In general, it you know, that range for outreach specialist, the salary range is very, very wide. But in general, I know some counties have said, well, you're going to underpay people or come in with a cheaper model. And I think most of the position are comparable to where people are starting at now. Is that correct, Tricia?
So I'm just making sure I follow you. So the salary ranges are similar, yes, in like if you look at the salary range for that no prefix to what we have currently when you look at our probationary faculty, that's a very similar salary range to what we're seeing, and it is quite wide, as you mentioned. So it looks quite comparable for that outreach specialist academic staff position as we have had, at least for when you look through our probationary faculty. Our current faculty, obviously, that's different. You know, there's years of service and how they've moved up in the pay. So that might not be comparable when we're looking at these salaries right now at this point.
So So then if I understand you right, the outreach specialist position is the county position, which could be a family living educator, it could be mm-hmm. a educator, it could be an agricultural educator, or a community economic development educator, or natural resources educator.
Correct.
Yes.
And that's what their title is going to be, outreach specialist.
That's their official title in HR.
Okay.
So working title is different than official title.
Okay.
So
those are some things
yep.
that are communicated in your FAQs, because as you're talking
yep.
about these types of titles, and then I'm looking at the types of titles that are, have been communicated through NextGen, they're not necessarily paralleling.
Okay. So, and I think some of the specification gets challenging with the working title versus title series. So we are working closely with HR on trying to find the right title series in HR that aligns with our expectations for those jobs. And so some of that has, we've been trying to update that and get that, you know, once we work with HR on this, they have to see the position description before they can really help us with the title series. So I'm not sure, you know, again, if there's a misalignment, it could be because we've, you know, had to wait till we can get to these real specific position descriptions before they can really assign, HR can assign an official title that gives you that pay range and all that as well.
Tricia, so Shelley, you know, we've always had that. Our title series was faculty title series before, and so we had instructor, assistant professor, associate professor, professor. And now the title series would be,
associate, no prefix.
Outreach specialist, outreach specialist, no prefix, senior outreach specialist, and distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't the ones that we usually use to describe our daily job. Like I'm a community natural resource development educator, you know.
And that's what I mean with, as you're talking and as the people who are looking at these positions, I think, and also with our county partners, have these two different types, which we've had before, but now we have new titles for county people as well as this new academic title, and so it makes it confusing. And so any types of communication to clarify and to show that would be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for comments.
So it's possible then that people could be coming in with potentially no experience or have potential to go through those prefix changes and end up actually making more money than faculty who are staying in their positions because they don't have that possibility any longer?
Well, you know, salary compression and salary issues is a separate issue that the dean's office is addressing or working on or developing some policies around. I don't want to tie. That's a big piece, and we've had that issue in our organization for many, many years, and we need a thoughtful process to address it. I don't want to necessarily tie it into the hiring of academic staff in the new model.
This is Karen again. One thing I've heard the 10-year track but not tenured probationary faculty asking are for the position descriptions in the centers or the institutes, what those jobs will look like, what the pay scale might be, because they're trying to figure out their future. And the more information they can have before October 10th, the better it's going to be for them to make some decisions. So do you think there'll be any position descriptions for the institutes?
So I'll jump in here. One thing I wanted to mention is, I mean, and this is, these are great questions, and I know, like Dave and Matt mentioned, is that they're working on those specialist positions, so those have been prioritized, and a number will be posted coming up this fall yet. But those, in making the decisions, taking a academic staff position would not preclude them from applying for any of these other positions that come open. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, them if a probationary faculty chooses to accept this academic staff position, that doesn't stop them from applying for any of these specialist positions down the road.
Okay.
Great questions. Anything else in the closing minutes?
I just have one. This is Beth Dow. I just have one quick silly question probably. I've heard you refer to, other than HR, OHR. What does the O stand for?
The office of.
Oh.
Okay. HR was kind of the old model.
And yeah.
The Office of Human Resources, OHR, is what the new department's called. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry for that confusion.
Hi, this is Art. I had a question. Earlier, I forget who said it. It was either Matt or Dave. Said something about the probationary faculty person who requests academic staff and wants to stay in their county, they would waive their right to apply for positions that come open.
Could you
clarify that, or thanks?
Yeah, thanks.
Tricia just verified that no, you, you know, anybody, if a position is posted internally and or externally, anybody in the organization has a right to compete for that position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's
so
what
Art, maybe you can clarify your question and we can get it a little more targeted.
It is in the letter too, and we'll put it in the FAQ. So that's a really good question. But know that probationary faculty, if they accept the staff position and a specialist role comes open that they're really interested in, they can apply for that as well.
Thank you. That is what I thought, but I thought I heard somebody say that earlier, and I wanted that to be clarified because after what you said, Tricia, it was confusing me. So thank you.
Again, if there are any other questions, feel free to reach out to Dave, myself, their extension directors, and we'll answer the questions about the extent.
We greatly appreciate the department heads and area extension directors and everybody trying to help work the organization through this difficult transition. So thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon.